And welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Good evening from the El Pacifico and beyond. We are out here at the further western edge of the Thang, the U.S. of the Thang, and we are very happy to be with you. And every night we're here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. They have Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, Margaret Gray with us, a host of other guests. We are going to have General Galen Shaw, retired United States Army General, with us. And we're going to talk with him. He's a wise man, and he has, I believe, a perspective that is often needed on the program. What is these days going haywire with America? Not that I think that our country is anywhere near as distressed as some people would have us believe from time to time, right? You know, it depends on the day as to what the issue is. But just about every day in the life of America, there's somebody saying that the country's going to hell in a handcart. And how do I know that? Because when I was a little kid, my father would sit there at the breakfast table, as many of our fathers have, and he would say the country was going to hell in a handcart, and that was like 50 years ago. So, and it's still here. So there's obviously a fair amount of panic that is attendant when we have, you know, problems with the country, whether it's the economy or something else. But so what is the what's the attitude today? What's going on is President Obama, and don't pick your nose, bud.
You know, I was going to say, don't do that while...
You're not on the air. What do you care?
I care. I'm on the air.
Sorry. It's bothering me. No, well, go and get a tissue, man.
Go in and get a tissue and deal with it.
It was bothering me. It needed to be dealt with.
Oh, would you stop? It needed... There's nothing up your nose that, well...
That doesn't need to be dealt with, unless it's a cocaine problem.
Well, do you have that problem?
Let's not talk about cocaine problems. Go get a tissue. Good evening, folks.
I didn't know about it.
Yeah, you knew about it, you jackass. Hi. So in any event, a cocaine problem.
Well, he's talking about something up the nose that's got to be dealt with. I don't know of any other...
Or what, methamphetamine, whatever you snort. I don't know.
Well, don't look at me.
We all got that huff.
You can huff, yes.
Great, I can huff. What are we talking about here?
You wanted to know what you stick up your nose.
As opposed to what you huff? I don't give a sweet... If any of you guys have that problem...
Don't look at me like I... Phil, I haven't huffed anything since high school.
You huffed in high school.
Look, if I don't get this done, then I'll never get it done, and there'll be three dead bodies. Do you all understand that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Welcome back to the show. So in any event, she huffed in high school.
One time.
In any event, so on any given day, in any given city, there are 8 million stories here in the Naked City, and, you know...
What do you mean, Naked City?
Never mind. So here is General Galen Shaw. Actually, before we get General Galen Shaw on board, I just wanted to continue this butchered-up setup that I'm attempting to do here on the show tonight. What is up with America right now? I mean, we got more people are bitching and pissing and moaning about Obamacare. It's a big issue. It's a big deal. But if it ain't Obamacare, it's some other thing. And if it isn't some other thing, then it's some other thing. We have had a country, and obviously the economy has been bad, and that has contributed to the fear and the loathing. But we've had bad economies before, and I've never seen so much talk of imminent disaster than I do today. Now, maybe I read too much of what comes pouring out of the internet. You know, all you have to do is someone flushes a toilet someplace, and if you're at the right spot at the right time, out comes, you know, stuff on the internet. And maybe that's my problem. And I don't know if anybody else shares this sort of fear, but General Galen Shaw is joining us, and we're going to put the question to you, sir. Because I know you've had some definite opinions in this area, and I know that you feel that the answers are rather evident.
Well, you know, Phil, the answers are very evident. I think if you're willing to just slow down and ask yourself the question and dial out all of the static and the noise that will come with the question being asked. And there is an awful lot of that kind of static in the air right now.
But what do you think is wrong, then, with the country?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with the country.
Now, yeah, that's a bad way of putting it. What do you think is what's holding us up here, man, to getting things done? I mean, if we don't want Obamacare, let's get rid of it. If we want it, then let's pass it. If we don't want the government to be in deadlock and to be, you know, broke, then... What causes us to be just so strangled up?
Well, and as I say this, Phil, you know, I'm a very plain-spoken guy, and I do express my opinions very strongly. And so I would say to you, and I give this opinion, that what I'm going to tell you, I do not share. I do not share. But I believe it's the opinion of the people in this country, whether it is articulated or it is not, whether it is written about or it is not, whether it is something that the people will shout from the highest rooftops or they don't.
Well, what is it, General Shaw? Does it have something to do with our amoral malaise, as Jimmy Carter once called it?
I don't think it is a moral malaise. I call it more of a low moral quotient. I think the morality of our people is solid. I think the morality of the American people is very good. It's very quality. But at times it can be of a low level. At times we have the morality of an individual who... Perhaps to give you the idea of to tell you the idea I have here, to give you an idea, I'm trying to find the right word.
To express your feeling.
Yeah, to express my feeling. If you're in a lifeboat and the lifeboat is threatened, and you can throw someone overboard or tie them up and keep them hostage because they've threatened the lifeboat, I think the American people are of a mind to throw that person overboard, but then they won't drown, and we wind up being standing there with an oar trying to beat the guy to death while he's in the water. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, not really.
No, I don't.
Well,
let me just restate what you said.
Well, I think it's fairly obvious.
But let me restate what you just said. The American people, morally, right, we're talking about our moral...
Yes.
Okay, morally, let's say the country is a lifeboat that we're trying to survive in to get to shore.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Okay, and there's someone on board that's causing a problem, and you're saying that of the two options, you can tie the guy up and cease having him be an issue.
Or you can tie him up and he ceases to be an issue.
Yeah, he ceases to be an issue.
When you said cease being an issue, you... would be the issue.
Well, no, we understand that, General. We're just trying to get the...
Yeah, we just want to get the outlines of this. So, or you can throw him overboard.
Or you throw him overboard. Now, the American people have decided to throw him overboard, but sailing on and letting him drown's not good enough. Now we've picked up an oar, and we're hacking at him in the water as he tries to climb back on board.
And who is this problem? What is this problem?
Well, I'm about to tell you. It's not a he, it's an it. And the problem is very simply, do you have to take a break? Because I don't want to be interrupted in the middle of this.
Actually, we do. We do.
All right, I'd rather you take the break because I don't, what I'm about to say is explosive. It's very explosive. And I'm not saying that for the purposes of what you call tickling. I don't want to tickle it through.
What?
What do you call in radio? I don't want to tickle you.
You mean tease it?
There you go, tease it.
Yes, teasing is like keeping the audience through the break.
Yeah, I don't want to tease it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. But that's what we're doing because we have to take a break, and we're going to take a break. General Galen Shaw with us. What's going on with America? Why can't we get things moving? Why can't we make a decision? Why can't what is this? It seems to be a period where we are just sort of stuck in tar, you know, and we don't want to go here. We don't want to go there. We just want to point fingers, and he said the American people are like people in a lifeboat who have thrown the guy overboard, and now we're standing there with an oar trying to beat the guy to death. I don't...
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it makes sense. Maybe we're not getting it.
No, I don't think it... When he says we're hacking at someone in the water, it makes us sound like we're half-wits who would... We should be rowing the boat, but instead we're standing there trying to beat someone to death who's already dead.
Yeah, I mean, it does make us sound like, in your words, Margaret Halfwits. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So there you go, folks. This is it's another night here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with all of these questions and hopefully some answers. I want to mention that we have in our store the new Teds of Beverly Hills T-shirts. Now, you know, we got the Tens of Beverly Hills hoodies, and those are a beautiful thing. But now we have the Tens of Beverly Hills t-shirts. We've got all sizes, have been reordered. We sold out of so many of them. So if you do not have your Tens of Beverly Hills t-shirt, and Ted's going to be on the program later on to talk about that and to talk about the game of the week that he does with Steve Bozell, all kinds of stuff later on in the program. But check out our online store at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Our number, 855-500-7445. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And again, we're online at philhendryshow.com. If you want those, want to get those Tens of Beverly Hills t-shirts, go get them right now. We're just selling a couple of things here. You know, it's all about the merch. And also our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And again, online at philhendryshow.com. On the line with us right now is General Galen Shaw, and General Shaw is talking about the state of America's decision making and the state of America's moral mobility, I think is what do you think of that term, General?
Well, that's not a bad way of looking at it. I think moral mobility is our way of operating in a very confused environment in a morally correct way. But if we are a population of people right now who not only try to solve the problem, but like I say, I know that you and your staff were laughing, but we are like a bunch of confused people in a lifeboat that have thrown what we think is the problem out of the boat, and now we're punching him with our fists and beating him with an oar. And did you ever see the film Lifeboat?
I was going to say, General, that sounds like in Lifeboat when they throw the man overboard and then they beat him up and then they sit back in the boat and they are still in the boat.
Yes, exactly. They're still in the boat.
What do you mean? Yeah, of course they're still in the boat.
No, but they're still in the boat with the same problem.
They're still in the boat, but they have the same problem even though they beat the guy up. But this is different. We didn't just beat up the guy. We are standing with an oar. There's like three of us with two oars beating. It's overkill. And the rest of us are just sitting there watching and doing other things like trying to sew a button on our shirt. We're completely at odds, and we're completely disconnected.
Well, you made the comment that it makes us sound like we're half-wits, and you're right. But let's not dwell on that. What I want to find out is, from you, the answer, as you said, the answer to the problem. And
well, the answer to the problem, Phil, it comes with the recognition of the problem. And as I said, this is very explosive. But it seems very clear to me, and I've dealt with explosive issues my entire life. I'm known as someone who speaks his mind. I'm known as someone who is not afraid to speak his mind.
Yo, so get to it, will you?
Shut up, bud.
Have some respect.
Who was that?
Sorry.
It was Bud.
All right, I'll get to it. You want to have disrespect for me? I've been listening to you, Bud, for many, many, many weeks and many, many years as you sound like the imbecile that you are.
All right, let's not start calling each other's names, okay?
Yeah, well, you're drooling into the phone.
Oh, no, I'm not drooling into a phone. I've been listening to your half-wit ramblings for years. You know?
You just snorted.
You did snort, General.
Well, big wow. What did I do?
You went...
Yeah, so what?
So what, Phil? I would expect that from Robert or Bud, not you.
I'm sorry, but it was very evident.
It was very evident. You know what else is evident, Phil, is your face is evident. And when I see it on Phil TV, I don't make fun of your pasty white Irish mug when I could.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to make fun. Maybe you want to do something to correct that before you go on.
What am I going to do to correct a snort? Do you?
Well, maybe you need to blow a nose.
Oh, I need to blow a nose? Will any nose do?
What do you mean?
You said you want me to blow a nose.
All right, I'm going to ask you to stop so we can get back here to the point at hand.
Ask him to stop.
I'm telling all of you guys, let's get back to what we're talking about. Every time you butt in, Bud, all you do is wreck what we're trying to say. So you be quiet. Margaret, you looked like you had a question.
Yes, My question is simply what Bud was trying to say, and I'll do it in a less rude manner. What is the problem, and then we can talk about the solution.
Thank you, Margaret. The problem is simply that the American people have no confidence in a black president. I say again.
Wow.
I say again, the American people have no confidence in a black president. They want to. They voted for Barack Obama. They ever since we voted for Barack Obama, we have had nothing but doubts about the man. And I believe it's based on his race.
Well, that's not exactly new.
Whoa. Hold on for a minute, because I'm not finished. What do you mean it's not exactly new?
People have been saying that the president has faced a racial prejudice in the thinking of the American voter for a long time.
Well, this is more than just prejudice. There's no confidence in him because he's black.
And yet, a great many people, and we're talking basically white people, right?
Well, I think there's a fair number of black people who feel that way.
What are you talking about, man? I'm black. I don't know one black person who doesn't think that he's not good because he's black.
That's exactly correct, sir. That there's people who believe that President Obama, even black people, don't think he can get the job done because he's black.
All right, why do they think he can't get the job done because he's black?
What? Because he's black.
No,
but what is it about being black that he cannot be president, that he cannot get the job done?
Just the old prejudices rearing their ugly heads. It's the fear that the people have in this country, and you combine that with the problems the country's having, everyone retreats to the safe answer, which is, well, maybe we were too soon with this black experiment. And
black experiment?
Well, that's what I feel is the sense that I get as I travel this country, as I do, as you know, Phil, that my wife and I will drive the country from time to time. This last summer, we had occasion to drive across the country and stopped in many small farming communities as well as large cities. And we just sat down with the people and talked straight, man to man, without any baloney. And I would say to people, what is it about Obama that just gives you the creeps? Not that way.
Well, you're not leading these people, are you?
In what sense?
Well, when you go across the country, as you say, and so you and the general's wife is Dolly, is that her name?
Yes.
All right, and you two drive the country during the summer months, which is a fun thing to do.
It's a lot of fun, and it can also be taxing because you're doing it. We were doing it for a reason. I'm not just doing it to get my kicks. I'm doing it because I want to talk to the American people. And if you are sitting in an automobile for hours at a time trying to get from one community to the next, and you are constipated, and you have other problems, I can tell you it's not fun at all. Not fun at all. And I want to make a special statement now about the Days Inn.
Hold on. Hold on for just a minute, okay?
Well, if you want to laugh.
No, but we have to get to the point here, General. Now, Obama, so what are people saying to you out there?
Well, I would talk to people in the farming communities and the different areas of our country. They may be mechanics. They may be... I don't know what they did for a living, and in some instances I didn't want to know what they did for a living because it was disturbing me, what I saw.
Well, what did you see?
Well, I would see children running barefoot through mud and mothers coming out of the house with another newborn. It looked like they can't have any more kids, and there's another one, and they're living in these mobile homes, and people spitting. It was very disturbing, and those people were the most open-minded, though.
What did they say?
They didn't have a problem with Obama or his race. But as I got into areas where the people looked like they were trash but actually had money, that's when it started.
Looked like they were trash but had money.
Yes, there's a certain level of white voter that tries to affect that trash can look, but they're loaded.
Well, how do you know they're loaded, you know?
Well, I think I know what he means. They've got the big trucks.
Oh, yeah. They've got a fully tricked-out truck. They put their money in all the wrong things. You know, they've got the most expensive above-ground pool, which is ridiculous when you can put one in ground, these kinds of things. But to a man and to a woman and to a child, Obama can't be a good president. We don't have faith in him because he's black.
What do you mean to a child?
Yeah, the little kids are saying?
The children, I would say, what do you think is wrong with the country? And they'd say, Obama. Obama.
Okay, General Galen Shaw, well, this is a whole lot of stuff that we're talking about here, and a lot of it is just bizarre. And CJ, I have to tell you that if you were talking to me, I couldn't hear you. I had you were cutting out. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. World-famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Good to be with you. I'm here with General Galen Shaw, retired United States Army General. We're talking, I guess you could say this is a philosophical discussion, although it's gotten a little strange as to what it is that what is causing the American electorate, the American voter, the American citizen these days such consternation and lack of confidence in his country? And General Shaw, you've come right out and said, because we've got a black president, and obviously that's you're not implying, you're coming straight out and saying there's a racist mentality out there among not only whites, but you said also some blacks.
Yes, but it's not a hostile racist. There's no one. In other words, Phil, I would very much hasten to tell you that it is not a hostile attitude. It's a resignation. When I talk to, as I have, Dolly and I drove across this country as we do our annual tour of America, and we stop in the small towns and the large cities too, and we'll stop for the Corn on the Cob festival that they have in Wheaton, Iowa, and we stop and have the strawberry the strawberry festival that they have in your neck of the woods there in Southern California. The lemon meringue competitions and so on.
What are these, General, that you're talking about?
These are the different festivals that will happen across the country.
What about a corn on the cob?
Yeah, I already said the corn on the cob festival is at Wheaton.
Don't do it, bud.
What?
Don't do it, or I'm going to belt you.
Yeah, you try to be funny, man.
What is he saying?
Nothing. Don't worry about it, General.
He said if there was a cob festival.
No, he didn't say a cob festival, did he, you imbecile? He said the Corn on the Cob Festival in Wheaton, Iowa.
Yes, it's a very popular, the Cob Festival in Wheaton, Iowa. And what happens at the end is you have a variety of cobs. Obviously, the corn's been eaten. And then you have a cob, and the most inventive thing that is done with the cob is the winner of the festival.
All right, hold on for a minute, General.
Oh, Jesus. You see, I've had a lot of people...
Hold on for a minute. You want me to kick you out of here?
No, sir.
Don't give me this bullcrap about you can't hold your laugh back in, either.
It's funny. Well, you got to admit it, it's kind of funny.
I don't see anything funny about it at all. I really don't.
Well, Phil, I don't know what they're laughing at. When they say the most inventive thing to do with a cob, I suppose the mind can wander. And mine has from time to time. I never miss the Cobb Festival, but it's not for the reasons that they're expressing. But we're getting off the track here.
Yes, we are getting off the track, absolutely. So you talk to the people, and they say they don't have confidence in Obama because he's black.
Yes.
It's not because he's a new president. He's got relatively little, say, political experience. It's not because they think that he's a liberal.
No, sir, no.
It's not because they think that he's... too young. It's not because they believe maybe he's too smart. Maybe he's, you know, disconnected from the populace, or maybe he isn't bright enough. It's because he's black.
Yes, and I made this very, I said, and as long as we're talking about the Wheaton, Iowa, where we go for this, the Corn on the Cob Festival, and I like to go to these. I tell my wife, Dolly, let's go to these different food festivals and the state fairs and the judging of the livestock, because this is where the people are.
Well, you're getting this information from the Cobb Festival, is that right?
No, I've got not all of it, but we've got that is a good cross-section of, I think, of America, because it's Iowa. And Iowa, as Iowa goes, so goes America.
Well, no, that isn't true.
Well, it's not true in the sense of who gets elected president, but it's right in the middle of the country, you know. And you go to Iowa, you see all kinds. I saw a man in Iowa... who had one eye, Phil, believe it or not, I don't know how this happened, but one eyeball was higher up on his face than the other.
What
are you talking about?
This is what I saw in Wheaton, Iowa at the Cobb Festival.
Okay. I mean...
How is that done?
I don't know, sir. I mean, it could have been some horrible accident that caused the fracturing of the bones in his face where things were misaligned.
All right. Well, I didn't think of that, but that's the kind of trauma and beauty. You see, at the Wheaton, in the Cobb, when you're talking about a Cobb or what you're going to do with it or...
Well, we're getting again. So tell me, how does this relate to Obama?
It relates to Obama in this way. You've got people...
Well, hold on. Can I say something here?
Go ahead.
Phil, the general's still talking.
No, but I mean, what you're saying basically is wherever people gather to do creative things with Cobbs, that's where you're going to find the real solid American opinion.
No, I didn't say that at all, Phil. I said in Wheaton, Iowa, at the Cobb Festival, you're going to get the cross-section of America. You're going to find people that don't want a black president.
Yeah, so wherever... Okay, so if you go to a Cobb Festival in Wheaton, Iowa, they don't want a black president.
That is exactly correct.
Well, that's not everybody.
Yes, that is not everyone in the country.
No, it's not everyone in the country. I guess you people aren't listening to me.
You don't watch that, Will. You people.
I apologize, Robert. I'm saying that that's a good cross-section.
What's a good cross-section about people at the Cobb Festival? Look, I understand...
Well, you're going to get anxious and angry. I don't want to have any part of this.
I'm not, sir. I apologize. But I don't understand how it's a representative cross-section of opinion that the people at the Wheaton, Iowa Corn on the Cob Festival...
Well, you got that backwards. It's the Wheaton, Iowa Corn on the Cob Festival is a good cross-section of Americans. It is a very good cross-section of Americans. And it is there that I heard the opinion, we don't have confidence in Obama because he's black. We think he's smart. We think he's educated. We think he's a good man, a good father, a good husband, but he's black, and you can't get anything done with that formula.
That's about the dumbest bunch of stuff I ever heard in my. What is your opinion?
Well, it's a cross section of the American people.
You talking about a cross section of American people, and what it is a bunch of dumbass whites fooling around with a cob.
Well, Robert, I understand your opinion because you're an African-American, but please, look at it from the other guy's side.
Man, we've been looking at it from the other man's side for so long. You know, I almost think I'm white, you know.
But you know you aren't.
Yeah, I know I'm not, man. If I've got you hanging around reminding me of that every day. But I'm telling you, I've been looking at it from the white man's side for so long, I don't need to do that anymore. Now you're telling me that I've got to accept a cross-section of some guy opinion at a Cobb Festival.
Well, it's not the Cobb Fest. What's it called?
It's the Corn on the Cobb Festival.
What difference does it make? Okay, what Robert's saying... What are you saying?
You know what I'm saying, man. How are you going to get a cross-section of opinion from people who know how to creatively use a cob?
Well, Robert, I have a hard time believing your outrage. If I just heard you go... I just heard that.
You did laugh, Robert.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous, man.
Well, it is kind of ridiculous to judge a cob holder. You're not a cob holder.
Not a cob holder. Are you saying that this is...
Yeah, well, to anticipate you, Margaret, and to try to finish up what Robert was saying...
I'm not Bobbert, this is Bud.
I'm sorry, I thought you were Bobbert.
My name's Robert, not Bobbert. And what he's saying is, don't defame or otherwise detract from the good... name of a guy and his fellow Cobb people, you know.
Well, they're not Cobb people.
No, that's a good point. Hold on. Robert and Bud are both saying the same thing. You know, the people at the Cobb Festival in Wheaton, Iowa, they're really good people, so you're going to have to trust their opinion, as opposed to saying the people that believe Obama is a bad president because he's black are defaming the Cobb Festival somehow, or you are, by disagreeing with that.
Well, I'm doing neither, and I'm asking you to do neither. I'm asking you...
Well, I got to do one of the two.
Why is that?
I'm not going to accept that as a sensible opinion. I can't have Obama's president. I don't trust him because he's black. So I'm going to have to say that people that go to the Cobb Festival are idiots, or I'm going to have to say that the Cobb Festival produces idiots. You know?
What does that mean? The Cobb Festival produces idiots.
If you've got people who are gathering once a year to eat corn on the cob, and then the big event is to see who does the most creative thing with the cob, to me that's really weird.
Well, now you're judging, and I think that's wrong.
Well, they're judging Obama because he's black.
That's a very good point, General. I mean, if they don't want to be judged, why are they judging?
I don't know. I can go back and check with them. We're due back there next year.
Well, that might be a little a long wait, you know.
Well, we are due back to go to the cop. They have it every 4th of July, and I can certainly, or I can make some phone calls.
Why don't you do that? Why don't you call somebody? Maybe we can get somebody. Is there somebody there in Wheaton, Iowa right now?
No, they all left town. Of course there's someone there.
I'm sorry. Somebody we can talk to.
I'll double check, and there may be an individual there. I don't know whether Jules Grayson is there or John Comstock is with the Chamber of Commerce in Wheaton, and they are the fundamental building block, the foundation of the Wheaton Cobb, the Cobb display.
I think the Cobb display.
Well, that's what happens after the festival. The people that have done the creative.
Oh, I see. So they display it.
They display what was done with it. They can't do it actually live, but they have a diorama and stuffed models. Oh, you know what? Why don't you stick?
It's so funny.
Well, three guesses.
Phil, you're telling everyone not to laugh, and there you are. I find nothing funny about this. It's very depressing. It really, I just lose faith in this country every day.
Well, don't lose faith, because what is happening here with the general, he's got some attitude about the Cobb Festival, like this is the end-all, be-all of American opinion, you know.
Well, yeah, and?
Yeah, and then at the end they have a diorama of what was done with the Cobbs. I don't understand that.
That's like if you go and you see, you know.
No, I know what it is, but it's to me this is a town of mad. I'll tell you what. If he's successful getting somebody, are you talking to him, Robert?
Yeah, I got him. He's gonna try to get Jay Comstock with the Chamber of Commerce.
The Chamber of Commerce. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com as we continue talking here with our good friend General Galen Shaw about. What may be wrong or right with America these days. The American people, not too much faith in the president. Why is that? He says it's simply because he's a black man. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And head on over to our online store and get the new Tens of Beverly Hills t-shirts. All sizes, they're in. We've restocked. We got it. It's good. It's all good. Back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, I don't think we got Daryl Weber, I know. Daryl has spent time in the town of Wheaton, Iowa, and he's going to jump on the line here with General Galen Shaw, and we'll find out exactly what goes on there in Wheaton, Iowa, and why the attitude about black people. The interesting thing about Daryl is that he himself is an African-American, so we'll get him up on the line here. We also have, as I mentioned, General Galen Shaw. Our number is 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. What is up with America? Why can't we come to a conclusion? Why can't we, get our act together, man? Why can't we pull our, excuse me for saying, why can't we pull our heads out of our asses and stop with, I know it's the other guy's fault, General. And of course, that's part of it, isn't it?
It absolutely is, Phil. There's no question that we love to point fingers and go, point at the other guy and go, ha-ha, it's you. It just as you and your crew is done. And I'm not blaming you, Phil, but you've got to understand that in that country there are different people who enjoy different things. We're all Americans. There's no question about that. But if a man has a corn on the cob, and I can tell you, for as long as I've been alive, corn on the cob is a very traditional thing in most American homes.
Of course it is, and I grew up eating it as well, and I grew up eating it for summer. I just never heard of I've heard of festivals that celebrate the various harvests and the various,
Well, no, this doesn't celebrate harvest. This celebrates the summer. A harvest, as you know, doesn't happen until the fall month. And so you're a little bit off there.
All right, well, like it matters. I mean.
Well, it does matter from the standpoint of the usage of the cob, and I won't belabor the point.
See, you're telling me I can't laugh talk about cob usage.
Well, try to grow up and not laugh anyway.
Exactly.
But I heard what he said, so I don't want to go any further than that. I know you have Daryl on the phone. Daryl understands because he was a young man in Vietnam and was very badly wounded and was at the VA hospital outside of Wheaton here for 6 months, Daryl. Isn't that correct? Or if maybe I've got the time frame wrong.
No, that is absolutely correct. That is right.
And you were at the VA after being wounded in Vietnam.
That is correct, Bill. I had been U.S. Army in Vietnam. I got wounded a place called Pleiku. And I had airlifted out. I come back to the United States, come to Wheaton. And the VA was actually in Des Moines, but it was on the outside of Des Moines. And I had occasion to spend time in Wheaton.
Darrell, was there any hint at that time of any racism in your mind?
And absolutely not. No, I was treated wonderfully by the people there. I was treated with great respect. And
yeah, well, that's because you're a veteran and everything.
Say that again.
That's because you were a veteran.
Now, hold on, Darrell. You could speak to this, but this was at a time when veterans weren't treated very well.
Yeah, absolutely, because Vietnam was not a popular war. A veteran was a very much looked down upon in those days. And so it was very, for a young man returning from Vietnam with the wounds that I had and just getting reacclimated, I was very grateful to know the people of Wheaton, Iowa. They have a very unusual way of celebrating the summer with a cob. And the term cob usage, but is not what it's not what it's called. It's, they have the corn on a cob festival. And then it's time to get creative with the cob, and it's a little bit of alliteration. And so you sit, they have folding chairs, and you watch as people come up and improv it, Bill.
Improv what?
They improv in the,
Well, they're improving what they're doing with the cob?
Yes, ma'am, that is exactly right. And they go up one at a time, and there's a lady who will say, now here is so-and-so, and she'll come up and she'll do something with it, and you vote on what they're doing. You understand? So
Darrell, this is General Shaw.
Yes, sir.
During that time, did you see these people act in an aberrant way?
I would say it was aberrant. You have to be, you have to understand, to each his own in this world.
Amen.
Yeah, and
well, all right, to each his own, but
hold on, Phil, you're judging these people, and you don't even know what the cob means to them.
You know, this is beginning to sound like an asinine Phil Henry Show comedy bit. The cob means to them. I know what I'm being set up, all right?
Ma'am, I'm simply saying to you.
Margaret, if you think you're being set up, this is a young man that came back from Vietnam with wounds and was treated very well. Now you're saying what?
I'm saying that whatever it is he's talking about, are you telling me that people got up... The whole idea of cob and corn on the cob is a repeat theme in this show. Phil?
Well, I'm listening to you, and I can't believe what you're doing. You got a guy here who's talking. He came back from Vietnam wounded. Okay?
I understand, and Mr. Weber, I appreciate that. But a repeat theme on this show is cob, corn on the cob, and there's Bud. Look at him laughing.
He's laughing because the whole thing's asinine. He's laughing because it's funny.
I can tell you it's not near funny. If you go to Wheaton, Iowa, and General Shaw was saying, these are very plain-spoken people. They don't have any axe to grind. They want the country to do well. If they think a black man can't get it done, then they don't think a black man can get it done. But I never had anyone treat me in a bad way. They invited me to the Cobb Festival. I was one of the judges. I got in my military uniform. You're saying that that's something disgraceful about that, ma'am. All right, fine.
No, I'm not saying it's disgraceful. Are you saying that you judged the Cobb Festival?
I judged the Cobb usage, yeah. And,
well, you said they don't say Cobb usage.
I'm trying to say what Bud said, it's called the creativity with a Cobb. And, I was one of the judges.
In your military uniform.
Yeah. And you can understand, Phil, that as a member of the United States military, we would not want any member of our service bringing disgrace upon it. And I am here to tell you, as a retired United States general, that Darrell did himself well. And he did the United States Army proud to sit and judge the Blue Ribbon winner in a cop and how someone is willing to do with a cop. And I know that doesn't sound right to you. But again, you know, the U.S. Army is the people's army. It comes from, it draws from all walks of life. And Darrell's one of ours. You and your kind, we don't know anything about.
I wouldn't put it that way, but...
Well, I am. I'm putting it that way. You, Mr. Henry, and your people, You scare me.
Oh, do I really? Well, I can tell you, General, you and your people with your Cobb Festival.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that.
I said it's a very good way of compromising. Do you have a Cobb Salad Festival?
Well, I don't know.
What do you think of that?
I think that's a great idea.
Oh, why don't you get out of here, you guys, Cobb Salad Festival. All I'm trying to figure out is why it is the country is the way it is, and now I'm thinking, you got me focused on Wheaton, Iowa, a Cobb Festival. You know, I don't understand. So
I'm trying to explain it to you.
All right, I know, but I know that you're explaining it to me, and I understand that's the way the town is. I just am saying that I don't think this has much to do with what it was I was trying to find out as to attitudes of the American people and beyond. All right, thank you very much, Daryl.
So you didn't get an answer, and you just spent a whole hour wasting our time.
I didn't spend the whole hour wasting your time. You guys could have asked questions.
No, you did. You spent an hour wasting everybody's time, and you didn't, you know.
I didn't waste anybody's time. This guy comes on.
This guy.
The general comes on and says there's a Cobb Festival that he and Dolly love to visit because the people are so freaking down home.
There you go again. Laugh about it. Make everything a joke about it.
I'm with Mr. Henry. I think the whole thing is bullcrap. Yeah. Phil Henry Show. Welcome to our next hour. We'll call it our second hour. It's our next hour. And we will have on the line with us here momentarily Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who is an aspiring stand-up comic. He owns a construction company, but he also does stand-up comedy on the side. And the reason why we're going to be talking about stand-up comedy is a very interesting situation occurred at the Improv in Washington, D.C., I guess last night. One of the comics there, a gentleman by the name of Dan Nanan, was performing at the Improv on DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C. In the crowd was a writer for the Daily Beast, a man by the name of Josh Rogan.
Fred Rogan?
No, Josh Rogan.
No, he said Josh.
Fred Rogan is Rogan.
Well, isn't that great? Fred Rogan's Rogan. What are you, nuts or something? You know?
No, what? Yeah, but people think you're thinking about Fred Rogan, and maybe you misspoke.
I'm not misspeaking, folks. I really do mean Josh Rogan, not Fred Rogan. Okay?
All right.
Man,
you know, you don't have to just shut up. I worked it out. Tell me to shut up.
Hey, I'm going to throw you guys out of here, and it's going to be a violent toss. I'm going to throw you through windows. I'm going to throw you through walls. I'm going to throw you through cars. I'm going to throw you into the street as trucks are rolling by. Understand?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you.
You get torque now. Never mind.
Watch it, bud, because you ain't even close to being funny here, all right? Comedian Dan Nanan arrested after a journalist punched in the face over tweets. Now, this is an expanded update, so they really, at the reliable source, an expanded update, a version of a story that was first published early this morning. It includes news of charges against Nanan and more witness accounts. A Washington journalist was punched in the face late Wednesday, apparently over some wisecracks he made over Twitter, which doesn't happen nearly as often as you might think in this town. And if I may be permitted a small addition, it doesn't happen near as much as you might think anywhere in this country, you know, with the immediacy of communication, especially with the way how acerbic people can be on Twitter. The incident, which culminated in the arrest of stand-up comedian Dan Nanan, occurred at the Improv at DuPont Circle Comedy Club, where Nanan was performing, and writer Josh Rogan was in the audience. Rogan, a foreign policy scribe for the Daily Beast, tweeted some mildly tart criticism of Nanan's routine. Dan Nanan was funny until he dusted off his 2005 Katrina jokes in a gratingly bad GWB impression. So that's one comment. Next comment. Dan Nanan makes his umpteenth joke about how Asians can't distinguish between letters L and R. Election, erection, we get it. Hashtag DC Improv. Now, understand that this guy, Josh Rogan, he gets about 76 retweets on the first comment. He's got 123 retweets on the second. So the guy's got some followers, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Is that a lot of retweets? I don't know.
Yeah, that's 123 retweets is a pretty healthy amount of retweets. Minutes later, Nanan approached the writer at his table in the back, Rogan said. He said, "Are you Josh Rogan?" I said, "Yes," and he punched me in the jaw. And here was the tweet, by the way.
Oh, he tweeted that?
Yes, here's the tweet. He says, Dan Nanen just punched me in the face. Not a joke.
How many retweets did he get on that?
He got 198 retweets on that.
Not that many.
Well, that was as of 6:15. Wait a minute. It says here 6:13 p.m. What? 6:13 p.m. Where is he, man?
He's in Washington, D.C., I thought.
Well, okay, but the one of the tweets is 5:59 p.m., 6:02 p.m. What time is this guy on stage, man? Now, I don't know if that's local time, if that's East Coast time, or whether this is on the West Coast somebody was monitoring this. So this was being monitored on the West Coast because it was 6:13 on the West Coast. 3 hours, they had to be like 9:13. Okay. The writer of this is somebody with a site called The Reliable Source, Roxanne Roberts, and I don't know, I guess it's a West Coast news site. So he said, Dan Nanen just punched me in the face, no joke. Nanen also pushed Rogan, then briefly walked away, only to return to take two more swings. Woo-hoo! One connected, Rogan said. So he got punched twice. Other witnesses, including National Journal editor Eli Izadi, who had been sitting near Nanen, confirmed the encounter. A U.S. News reporter also published her firsthand observation of the incident. Bouncers removed Nanen from the room. The bouncer had to eject the comic. They removed Nanen from the room, and police arrived to interview both men separately. According to the arrest report, police charged Nanen, age 52, with simple assault. This guy's pretty good-looking for 52.
Well, what has that got to do with anything?
Let me see. Yeah. Very young-looking. No.
I'm sorry, Margaret.
He's 52. He's 52. He assaulted a man. He assaulted a member of my profession.
Oh, give me a break, will you? Yes, he did, and he got arrested, okay? I just said he's 52 years old. This guy looks a lot younger than 52. Anyway, they arrested him and charged him with, quote, simple assault. What does that mean, simple assault?
Well, it's just if you just punch a guy, like as opposed to rape him or something.
Yeah.
What do you mean as opposed to rape him?
But that's rape.
I know, but what is... Have you ever heard of assault and battery?
I didn't know what that meant, assault and battery.
Battery is when you just push someone. Assault is when you punch them.
What about rape?
Bud, I'm going to kill you.
Hey! Rape is rape, you idiot. God, Margaret, what is up with you?
What's up with him? What, are you related to this guy?
Take it easy.
You said that just like that guy in Clockers.
So what?
I'm going to kill you. All right. Bouncers removed Nanen from the room, and he bounced out, and then he bounced back. The incident became an immediate social media sensation, with Rogan himself possibly the first to tweet the news. The room was filled with Twitter-happy Beltway denizens who'd gathered for the semi-annual Funniest Celebrity in Washington contest. Oh. So it was a big event.
Well, that's the thing. I don't understand people with the... Do you have your tweet out, or not your tweet out? Do you have your tweet...
Yeah, you pull your tweeter out.
Do I pull my tweeter out? Are you guys trying to be funny?
No, do you... No, I'm not trying to be funny.
I don't know. I don't sit there with my phone tweeting every bloody thing that happens to me. I don't do that. Unless there's something going on that's like heavy duty, you know? Like, I mean, I'll tweet crap if there's an automobile accident. I'll pull over first, bud. And then I'll tweet that. Only because it's, you know, it's my nature as a quasi-journalist to want to let people know stuff that's going on.
But by that time, I had a helicopter.
Yeah, I was going up the 405. Big deal, man. I saw all these choppers, and I saw all these cop cars going by. Little did I know, because I was too thick or dumb to understand, a guy the cops were chasing just blew right past me.
Where was this?
It was on the 405. I was going north. I was coming up from, I don't know where the hell I was coming, San Diego. Or Newport Beach or something. And I was coming north, and I see all these cop cars sailing past me. Somewhere along the way, I missed who it was they were chasing. But the cop cars are sailing past me. I'm still going north on the 405. I'm heading into Long Beach. And now I see all kinds of choppers in the sky. And I'm thinking, okay, this is whatever this is. And then it dawned on me, it's a chase. So I pulled over and I tweeted this crap.
Did anybody say thanks a lot, Phil?
No. I don't even know why. I mean, it's an instinct you have. You've been in this business so long. You want to tweet what you think is news. And that probably wasn't all that big. I wish I'd been in a nightclub seeing a guy getting punched out. That's the way, you know.
Well, it's a lot sexier.
Yeah, it's a lot sexier.
Jesus.
Well, Phil, it's better than going, ooh, I just saw a man go fast.
Yeah, y'all, like, how many chases they got in this town anyway?
Great, okay, fine. But when it goes right by you like that, sometimes it's an interesting thing. All right, Phil Henry Show will be back with Stephen Bozell to find out just exactly what he takes on, what he takes away, as we like to say in the business, you know, what he takes away from this whole comic punches guy out. And also online at philhenryshow.com in our online store, the brand new Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts, Ted and Steve Bozell coming up in our last hour as well. We got Steve now, but actually just be Ted, right?
Yeah, Steve don't want to do it on account of that one cut TV.
I didn't understand what that jackass said.
What did you say, bud?
Steve doesn't want to do it because he's on this hour.
Yeah, don't be going...
Man, move past it, man.
Just move past it, Phil.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for the professional opinion. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Move past it. Phil Henry Show, welcome back here. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California is joining us, and we're going to talk with him about stand-up comedy and, you know, should you guys expect to get your, you know, lights punched out by somebody who's pissed off? I mean, not you, but us, I guess, the critics out here in critic land. Steve is in Corona, California, where he lives with his wife and his son and daughter, and he joins us on our newsmaker line. And, Steve, I know that you're an amateur, but you have done your fair share of stand-up in the past?
Yes, sir. I've, you know, in association with the work that I do as a construction contractor.
Now, you're working with Ted Bell, by the way, on our pro football game of the week.
Yes, sir.
And so you're doing football commentary for us here on the Phil Henry Show, but you're also, when are you doing your stand-up?
Well, I do that on the weekend. I do it generally for, I've done children's parties, and I've done graduation parties. I also did, I did a church social or a men's club, but it's all good.
And you get paid for this.
You get paid in the how good it feels. I mean, I don't want to give you the idea that I'm doing little tiny kid jobs. I do, you know, important comedy jobs. I just don't want to go and do these clubs, because you see right here what happens, you know, with a guy who's going to tweet all kinds of things. And I'd rather work the men's club at our church. I do different.
Well, you said little kid party. How old are the kids?
Well, no, they're not so young. Here's a joke that I did at a little kid party. What did the island goblin sea monster say? That's a little kid joke, okay?
Okay.
And I'll get on and say, what did the island... These islands aren't Philippine me up. I need Samoa Tahiti. See? And...
No, I don't. Oh.
Yeah, yes, you do. These islands aren't Philippine me up. I need Samoa Tahiti. And so that's a little kid. A little kid is going to go... Little kids will go hog wild on that. I mean, you get a standing ovation. And I realize it is little tiny kid material, but that's what I do.
Now, you get paid for these gigs, right?
You get paid in the appreciation of the kid sometimes. But again, my professionalism is not based upon how much money I make. My professionalism is based upon the people understand that I'm doing quality material and that I show up on time. I don't have liquor on my breath or anything that... You know, and you're going to get a bang. You know, you're going to get a big bang out of it. And to me, that's the best thing that there is in the world of stand-up comedy.
Talking to Steve Bozell, who is an aspiring stand-up comic. I mean, you're a professional. I understand, sir, but you're not playing any clubs.
Well, at this point, I don't know whether I want to, because if you're going to stand there and you're doing your grade-A material, and there's a guy there who has his cell phone out, and he's tweeting comments about how much your act is rotten, you know, rotten to the core, you gotta count to more than just 10. You gotta count to 20.
Have you ever had anybody, Steve, because you saw how this comic reacted, and I would say badly, wouldn't you?
Well, I think yes, I think he reacted badly, but understand that there's only so much that you can stand. You know, there's only so much you can stand before you finally just you know, put the mic in the stand, you step very gently off the stage, and you go directly for that individual to solve the problem, you know, and...
Well, what is solving the problem? Punching the guy out?
I don't know, but, you know, there's only so much you can take, and only so much you're going to be able to stand before... You know, I just think that...
All right, Stephen Bazell is who we're talking to. What do you think of the...
Well, I didn't finish my comment.
It sounded like you were getting a little emotional.
You know, I'm just saying, I can't fault Mr. Nanan for going back there and at least saying to the guy, you should be more respectful because this is quality material. And I had a man tweet something about how my act was the words that he used was rotten to the core. And this was on stage. It was at the annual church festival at the Corona First Church where my family goes. I was working the kids' barnyard corral because they didn't want me on the main stage because my material they felt, I guess they didn't have room for me. I was going to say it was too adult, but they put me with the kids' corral. And I did a joke, you know, and this guy said I was rotten to the core, and I went back, and I was going to say something to him. I wasn't going to punch him, but I was going to say something to him, and I wound up I stopped, I looked at him, and then I just ran from the tent to my truck.
So I would say this is a very emotional thing for you.
It's very emotional for any comic.
Steve, do you remember what the joke was?
If you could say that again, ma'am.
Yes, do you remember the joke that told that got the tweet?
Yeah, I said, what do Eskimos get from sitting on the ice too long? And I go, what do Eskimos get from sitting on the ice too long? And I waited, you know, you're supposed to give it a three beat. One, two, three, go. And then I said, Polaroids. You know, you get Polaroids. And,
okay.
Well, you know, okay. I mean,
that is funny. I mean,
well, if it's funny, I don't hear anybody going ha ha ha, and that's what pissed me off. And
please, will you watch your language here, okay?
I apologize.
All right, but so you told that joke, and then how long before you found out what the tweet was?
Well, there was a little girl sitting in the front row. I understand you got to keep the material clean when you're working the barnyard corral. And
what is the Barnyard Corral again?
I was working the church festival.
That's right, okay.
So you were working the church festival, and you were working the small kid, the little kid?
They told me I had to go work that area because it's no big thing. You can work dirty, you can work filthy in the little kid Barnyard Corral because, you know, the kids are, the parents are warned if you bring your kid in here, even though it's a barnyard, there's still going to be some bad jokes. I mean, some adult jokes.
At a church thing?
Yes, sir.
I don't understand that.
Well, it's just, you don't have to understand it. I mean, that's the way it is.
All right. Yes, she does need to understand it.
Yeah, I resent that comment, sir.
Well, I'm sorry, ma'am, but there's the way you want it to be, and there's the way it is. And, you know, in my world...
Okay, we understand that, but what we're talking about here is you're telling jokes in a venue that little kids are in.
I thought you brought me on here to talk about this guy, Rogan, who tweeted out all kind of dirty, who tweeted bad things, and he got his job, he got his jaw locked up.
Yeah, we do want to talk about that, but I to get to that, we have to talk about material, and the material that you use on stage seems to be pretty clean. You're telling me that you're working small rooms where there's children, okay?
Not rooms, I said the Barnyard Corral.
Well, that's okay. It's the Barnyard Corral.
But what club is that?
It ain't a club, sir. God.
All right, take it easy. It's not a club. It's the church festival.
Oh, okay. I understand, Mr. Bozell.
Yeah, and the name's Bozell. So right there, we got one strike, two strike, three strike. I mean, what kind of ball game is this? The baseball that I play, you get three strikes. So far, you guys are all... It's strike 10. Okay, strike 10. You know, and the count is 13 and 10. And
well, I mean, how many strikes do you get?
That's what I'd like to know.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep this online. So you are, you do this joke, what do Eskimos get from sitting on the ice too long? Polaroids. Now you find out that this guy says your act is, quote, rotten to the core.
Yes, sir.
How did you find that out?
There was a little girl that was sitting in the front row, and I saw her looking at her phone. She laughs and then holds it up and shows it to me. And I do the joke. I go, what do Eskimos get from sitting on the ice too long? Polaroids. And then I see her holding the phone, so I lean down. And that's when I heard the same guy, or not the same guy, I heard a voice say, what are you looking at? And I look up, and then I realize that she showed me the tweet, and that guy, I knew who it was. It was Jerry Stebbin. And that's when I threw the mic down, and I said, okay, all bets are off.
And that's when you walked toward him with the intention of punching him.
Yes, sir, and then I stopped, and I said, I better not, and I went to my truck, and that's where they found me. And
what do you mean, that's where they found you?
What were you doing?
I was just leaning into the wheel, weeping, and they found me because apparently I leaned too far, and I hit the horn, and the horn was just going off.
Had you passed out?
No, I just had leaned forward. I was crying, and my head was leaning on the horn, and I couldn't hear the horn from the sound of my own, sobs. And
you know, I got to tell you, that seems like the most, the biggest overreaction I've ever heard.
Well, Mr. Henry, do you perform on a stage for a living?
No, I don't. Not a live stage. You're right.
Well, then I don't think you are in a position to judge. You have to understand, as a comic, and what happened to Dan Nanan is happening all over this country. Every night, every club, every hour, there's a comic who's trying to get some quality material going, and you've got a guy who, man, he couldn't find it with both hands. And the guy's up there trying to work and work and work and doing everything what he can do. And what do you think is happening? He's being treated like it's the biggest dumbass that this world, or any world, that you could part.
All right, hold on for a minute, because I can't, I've got to take a break here. Steve, I appreciate that, but I had to just put you on hold. I think what he's saying...
Well, what he's saying is that you're working very, very hard as a comic, and you've got people tweeting this criticism, and it hurts. But I'm here to say to you, Phil, and I know you know this...
Yeah, welcome to the world, man. Yeah.
Exactly. Welcome to the world.
Well, I don't disagree with that. However, obviously, there is a very strong emotional reaction, because here's a guy that punched somebody out, and Steve goes to his truck and weeps so loudly that, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Last night, Wednesday night, I say last night, it might be, it's still Thursday night everywhere here in the good old USA. On Wednesday night at the Improv in Washington, D.C., on DuPont Circle, I'm specifying because I don't know how many improvs are in the D.C. area, there was a comic on stage, Dan Nanan, who I guess was not to the liking of a writer for the Daily Beast, Joe Rogan. He's a foreign correspondent for the Daily Beast. He's in the crowd. He's tweeting, and he tweeted how bad this cat's act was, and this guy... got pissed off, came off the stage, apparently found out that this guy was... How do you find out when you're on stage? And Steve, you told us that you found out that your jokes weren't going over well with at least one of the people in the crowd that night. A little girl in the front row held her phone up.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I don't know. How would that...
I don't doubt that that's exactly what happened to Mr. Nanan. And you're struggling. And you got I don't know how well he was doing, but I can well imagine if you're playing on the improv, you're going to be, you're bringing your grade A game, you're bringing your A game, and there's some guy. If you think about these writers and bloggers and this kind of thing on the internet, that's not what I call a prestige gig, and the guy's sitting out there in the crowd. And he's tweeting how rotten your act is. Somebody ought to tweet about this guy Joe Rogan, how much he blows.
All right, I understand.
I mean, if you're out there and you're criticizing a man who's working his butt off, and you're working for the Daily Beast, and you probably stink, 6 days out of seven. Somebody ought to see how he feels about that,
Well, everybody that is in the public eye and everyone that does anything in a public way to make a living especially is going to be subject to criticism. And I don't doubt that Joe Rogan has that.
Well, but I don't see anybody saying how bad he sucks.
Well, you may if he punched that person out, you see. Because what I'm saying to you, Steve, is we wouldn't have known about this guy tweeting this stuff about Dan Nanan if Dan hadn't punched him out. Now, There's two sides to this coin, or there's a lot of ways of looking at this, I should say. One of them is, The guy punching out Joe Rogan, Dan Nanen, may have gotten himself some notoriety or publicity that is beneficial to him, although I doubt that. I mean, a club owner is going to be reluctant, I think, unless he wants to take advantage of the notoriety.
Well, that's just it. There is a very short-term advantage, okay, to...
We're waiting.
What do you mean, we're waiting? Why don't you...
Take it easy, take it easy.
There is a short-term advantage to booking a guy like Dan Nanen and saying, well, this is the guy that shut that guy's mouth. Now, I am a writer, and I take the side of the writer here, but I also know what it feels like to finally shut someone up. And I have to tell you, it feels good.
You're about to talk about Delmonico.
If you're talking about my son, could you use his full name, please?
His name isn't Delmonico.
Well...
Jason J. Yes, I am talking about that, because Jason Day, from the time I got home from New York, I made dinner, or Amparo made dinner, but I made dinner, when one of our domestics...
Come on, get to the point.
No, I'm going to make this point. When the domestic makes dinner, I've made dinner. That's my point.
Well, that's great. What does that mean?
Just what I said. No, I'm not saying that our domestic made... I made the dinner.
Does anybody know that I'm on the phone here?
No, we know you're on the phone, but Margaret's bringing it. So what is the point here?
You're going to talk about the time you punched out Delmonico?
I didn't punch out Delmonico. My son is Jason J. Delmonico, you hick. And
you see, that's what I'm talking about, Mr. Henry.
Come on, will you guys just be polite to each other, please?
Well, then don't have him butt in.
I'm not a hick. I'm not going to be called a hick, okay? I will not appreciate that at all.
Well, you may not appreciate it, but that's exactly what you are. I don't care who you are. You got it.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, I got home, Jason J. Delmonico, blah, 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 blah. I sit down. I try to enjoy my dinner, blah, blah, blah. And I realize that I am right-handed. That means that I can continue lifting the fork to my mouth and enjoying my dinner. And at the same time, I can lift my left hand up and snap it back as a backhand, catch Jason J. on the jaw with my engagement ring. Okay? You following?
Yes, I'm following. I mean, what are you doing? What is this, a lesson in how to abuse a kid?
Hey, excuse me.
That's not abuse. I got to take Ms. Gray side on that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, you backhand... Everything.
I'm telling you, when the opportunity presents itself, you move. You have to act.
And the opportunity presented itself that you're right-handed.
That's right. And I was eating the tortilla soup that Amparo slash me made. Not me made, but...
That you made.
Not you made, I made.
That you made, okay.
Are you yelling at me?
Margaret, you're going to have to just quit it with the thin skin here. I'm trying to get this story to move along.
Mr. Henry, I can explain it to you.
I don't need you explaining it, Bozell. I appreciate it, but I don't need... What I'm saying is I'm right-handed. I'm eating the tortilla soup. I'm reaching for tortillas. I'm reaching for salt. I'm buttoning my blouse. I'm doing everything with my right hand. My left hand has nothing to do. On the left of me is Jason Delmonico, Jason J, going blah, 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 blah. So what would you do? I mean, this script writes itself. All right.
Yeah, I can understand that.
The script writes it, so you just went ahead and backhanded him and shut him up.
You know, you gotta do what you gotta do, all right?
Yeah, all I'm saying that, Mr. Nyman, you do gotta, man gotta do what a man gotta do.
What do you mean a man's gotta do what
a... Well, no, but a lady gotta do what a man did.
Oh, would you stop? A woman's gotta do what a woman's gotta do. Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what I said, okay?
No, you didn't. Said man's gotta do.
You idiot, sit. God, I hate you so much. You're black, and I should like you because I'm a liberal, but I hate you.
Yeah, well, you have done the same things the right way. And I'm talking like a...
Come on, will you?
Andy, I've been on a lot of radio programs. I've never been in one that's quite the cluster bang that this thing is. I'm trying to get said the things that I need to say.
All right, I'll talk to you about the things you want to say, but we've got Margaret here talking about backhand. You know, that's a story, Margaret, that we could have gotten finished with in about one quarter of the time. You sat down, you had dinner, Jason J. Delmonico was yap, 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 and you backhanded him. And the essential point is, you understand it when you get emotion, when people get emotional and they get angry, some people just lash out physically. You understand that?
Yes, that's what I said.
Right, you said it in about a half an hour.
Well, then tell that one there to shut up and that hayseed you got on the phone.
I had said once before, I'm a father and a mother. I'm not a mother.
You're a father and a mother.
I'm a father and I'm married to a mother, which is my not my mother, but...
You're married to your mother.
No, ma'am, I'm not married to my mother. No, ma'am, I'm not God.
All right, just...
I'm not saying anything.
That's a good point, Miss Gray.
Thank you.
All right, fine.
Can I say something? Because all that's happened here, Mr. Henry, since I come on your program, is I've been made to look like a Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey clown coming out of a car.
All right, Mr. Bozell, you have made the point that you work your ass off, comics work their asses off, they expect to be treated with a little bit of respect. I believe that that is probably unrealistic in today's climate, given the rather rough and tumble and rowdy nature of comedy clubs. I think that you're going to take your shots, you're going to get the hecklers, and now we have a whole new medium for hecklers. It's called Twitter. And there comes a time, I think, when, what's the saying, you know, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Well, yeah, but that's true, Mr. Henry. However, if you're doing grade A quality material, the night that I'm talking about this guy... that I wept and wept and wept, and I pulled myself together. I came back the next week, and I see this guy Stebbins is in the crowd again, and I said, okay, I'm going to lay it on him, and if this doesn't work with him, then he can rot in hell. I knew what he was going to do. I knew he was tweeting, and that same little girl was there, too.
What's with this little girl? Was she there with her parents?
I don't know. It was the Barnyard Corral.
So little kids get in?
Yeah, they get in, and there's no minimum. And
what do you mean, no minimum?
This is a place for children.
Yes, sir.
What do you mean, no minimum? There's kids there. This is a church festival.
Right, but you got a 2-drink minimum. Where you been?
Hey, pal, I've been a lot of places, and I've never heard of a church festival that's got a 2-drink minimum in the Barnyard Corral with the little kids. But in any event, so the little kid's there.
Yeah, this little girl was there. This is a 2-week festival. She's back for more. And I can see her looking at her phone because she knows Stebbins going to be tweeting me. So I come with the guy. I come out with a joke. I said, "What did the gangster say when the house fell on him?" And that's when this guy Stebbins stands up and goes, "Get off me, Holmes." And I said, "You, I hope." And I hated him so much for that.
Was that the punchline?
Yes, sir. That was the punchline.
Oh, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah, it hurt. And I looked at the little girl, and I said, "You did it, didn't you?" And she's all, she's all, "Ha, mister." And apparently...
How did she know the punchline?
Because I told her the joke before the show started. And she immediately tweets Stebbins. He stands up, and he's wrapped the program almost like a megaphone. He goes, "Because it says get off me home like that." And I said, "Stebbins, you better run." I said, "But as far as you run, there's no place you can hide on this earth." I said, "I'll find you." I said, "So you better just go run."
What did he do?
He left, you know.
You go looking for him?
No, I didn't go looking for him. I had to go to.
All right, Steve, hold on for a minute. This is a pointless exercise.
Well, Phil, you're the one that booked this.
I booked it because I wanted to talk. You know what I'm getting? Here's what I'm gathering. That there are some comics, Mr. Bozell and Mr. Nanan, that should not be doing it for a living because they can't take the criticism. Bozell, he's either crying in his truck or he's got that little girl, I don't know how old she is, but she's got his number, man. She knows exactly how to piss him off. And that Stebbins guy. And what is with the kid?
I think that's her dad.
Yeah, that's her dad, too. So he puts his daughter in the front row.
Oh, that's right. That's Nicole Stebbins, yeah.
Oh, you know these families.
Well, yes, I do.
So he puts her in the front row. She gets as much information as she can. She tweets it back to her dad, and then he does this, and it's a big laugh riot.
Yeah, I think that's how it is.
All right. We'll take that one under it. Boy, is that weird. Man, you talk about a family. That's a family that needs something to do. I'll tell you that. World-famous Phil Henry Show here, and philhenryshow.com. We are online there. Don't forget our Ted Bell T-shirts are in stock. We'll be right back with our final segment here. And then we got Ted Bell next hour talking about the pro football game of the week and other such falderall. Plus a story about Jimmy Kimmel and Kanye West. Really weird. More comics and more bad blood. World famous Phil Henry Show. Mm-hmm. All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. If you are a BSP, you are part of the inner circle of a radio show, 23 years old now. This past summer, 23 years, we have been presenting a theatrical, satirical, mentally deficient.
Humor deficient?
Humor deficient? This isn't humor deficient. See this? This is a ring. I'm going to turn it out.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'll tell you when it's humor deficient, man. When I got to work with you, that's when it's humor deficient.
All right, boys.
Jesus, was that gay?
Well, I'm a female. What do you mean gay?
Yeah, since you're the all right, boys.
Anyway, so join us at philhenryshow.com with a BSP. Steve Bozell, our final segment here as we talk about stand-up comedy. And we had a situation where a stand-up comic punched out a dude in a nightclub. The reason why we know about this is that the guy that got punched is a writer for the Daily Beast, which is an online news site. And he was saying the guy sucked. Why don't people have, Steve, freedom of speech?
I don't think, you know, myself and other people that do you know, stand-up comedy and everything that we do, I don't think we're saying that you're not allowed to have the freedom of speech. What we're saying is just for a precious few minutes that you come into the comedy club to enjoy the comedy of the comedian that's there, we're saying for just the precious few moments of life, you know, that if you could just give me my time, because I don't, you know, I'm not asking anything more than for you to just, you know, climb off my back and get away from me and let me do what I got to do, you know, what I got to do. And
Steve, this is Margaret. You sound very tongue-tied and nervous. Are you comfortable on stage?
Well, I don't know. What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, what is, I mean, that's a little...
Well, I mean, I don't doubt that you're funny, but the way you're talking now... Is it possible that your nerves may provoke this in people?
My nerves are fine, ma'am.
Well, you ran out of the tent, you said, right?
Yeah, it's the Barnyard Corral. How many times?
I understand that, but it's not a nightclub. You ran out of the tent to your truck, and you started crying because the guy was giving you a hard time about your joke. He said it was rotten to the core.
Yeah, and then the next week he stood up and he gave the punchline. You know, what did the gangster say when the house fell on him? Get off of me, Holmes.
Yeah, and the guy stood up. Can I ask you a question? Obviously, you think that's a good joke.
I think that's a very quality, you know, basic unit of humor. Here's one. This is one that always... How do you catch... Here's one. Why were the strawberries upset? They were in a jam. Now, that's a good, quality, basic joke that always gets laughs. I don't care where you are. You're going to get the good, quality laugh.
What do you call a good quality laugh?
Yeah, to me, that sounds like a little kid joke.
Well, no, it's not a little kid. Why is that a little kid joke?
Well, it sounds like a little kid joke.
What does that mean, it sounds like a little kid joke?
It's not very thought-provoking. It's a basic, it's sort of just a chortle. You know, it's a
What? What are you people talking about? I mean, I worked on that joke all summer.
All summer you worked on that joke, huh?
Yeah, it take about 2 days to write a joke like that, maybe.
Oh, is that right? Well, how many jokes have you written?
I write a couple every now and again. Why'd the chicken cross the road?
Did you get to the other side?
No, he had to report to work at KFC.
That blows. I'm sorry.
Better than the one that you done did.
My joke is way better. If you're talking about...
Well, hold on, see, this is what we're talking about. This is a subjective thing. Right?
It is very subjective. Humor is very subjective. That means that what is funny to me, or what may be funny to someone else, is not necessarily funny to you, Steve, or to you, Bud. So, your joke was what?
My joke? Why did chicken cross on a road?
No, you said...
Let him tell the joke, Bozell, okay?
Whatever.
Why did chicken cross a road?
To get to the other... Well, no, you already said.
Don't say it. Just pretend like you didn't hear it at all.
Report to work at KFC.
I said don't pretend you didn't hear it. God!
All right, Bud, say the joke again.
I know the joke. Why did chicken cross the road?
Shut up! Why did chicken cross the road?
I don't know.
You?
No.
You?
No, I don't.
You, Mr. Bozell?
Well, yeah, but,
You're supposed to say no! God.
Bud, relax before I punch you out. Will you? You're supposed to say no. God, man.
Well, why'd the chicken cross the road?
I don't know.
To report to work at KFC.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic, man. That's hysterical. That's great.
And yet my joke about a strawberry jam, you can't even give me the dignity.
Mr. Bozell, not that we don't want to give you dignity, but the jokes suck on a variety of levels.
Like what do you mean?
Well, first of all, it sounds like a kid joke. Second of all, I've heard it before, I think.
No, you didn't, because I wrote it.
Well,
you claim to have written that.
Yes, I do.
Well, even if, and you wouldn't mind taking credit, even if you really did write that.
Ma'am, I wrote that joke last summer. It took me June, July, part of August, because I was doing another thing. It took me part of August. I finally come up with jam, and I know you think that I probably should have had that joke wrote it down before that, but I had to, you know, I was going two ways with it. And
what ways are you going to go with a joke about? What is the joke again?
Why were the strawberries upset?
What's the other way you could go with it?
You could say, why were the strawberries upset? Because they were going to be picked, you know.
Well, what's funny about that?
That's why I didn't use it.
You know what, Mr. Bozell, good luck.
Well, Mr. Henry, I've never gotten a fair hearing yet on your show.
Yes, you have. You've gotten a more than a fair hearing on this show. I've kept you on the air far longer than I should have.
And I just think that's a load. I think that's a load. And I think what I'm trying to say is simply that you're not giving me no respect, and this is the whole reason why I got to punch the guy out.
Well, do you want to punch Phil out?
No, I don't want to punch him out.
Well, Mr. Bozell, you could punch me out if you want. You could, you know, come and kick my ass if you want. But I still say your joke stinks, and most of the jokes you told here tonight stink.
All right, well, then you want me to punch you?
No, I don't. But I have the right to say that your jokes suck, just like that cat did.
What do you mean, cat?
The guy from the Daily Beast.
He's an idiot.
Well, really, you think so? First of all, these jokes that this guy's got, they're all kiddie jokes, okay?
Well, that's what I was saying.
That's what you were saying?
From the very beginning, it sounded to me as if the man was doing jokes for little children.
Margaret.
No, listen to me. He was doing jokes for children.
All right, so he's doing jokes for children.
Yes, and my point was very simply this. No wonder someone wanted to put a knee right into his ball bag.
Okay, Margaret.
Well, I didn't say it out loud.
Yeah, people are going to be able to hear it.
Take it easy. All right. We're coming back next hour. Ted Bell is going to join us on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Story here, Kanye West rips Jimmy Kimmel sketch. Should I spoof your face or you effing Ben Affleck? I don't know what that means. That was not very funny, Mr. West, but we're going to be checking that out. And, you know, other such things here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Just a reminder, program reminder, that we are not going to be here tomorrow night because I am in Washington, D.C., speak of the devil, to heckle Dan Nane. I'm kidding. No, I won't. No, I'm in Washington, D.C. A friend of mine is sick and is having surgery. We'll be right back next hour. I'll explain all of it. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So then we have Kanye West and Jimmy Kimmel, and I don't know what, I'm sorry, folks, I don't know what the origin of this dispute is, but Kanye West has been on Twitter for a while, and the last tweet was 3 hours ago, and he tweeted a picture that he created of SpongeBob SquarePants that Kanye West says is Jimmy Kimmel, and the caption was, oh gosh, I forgot what the caption was, some kind of, the other picture I can't quote to you is very, very funny. It's a picture of Jimmy making a face, and then the Kanye West caption, no good P word, meaning he doesn't get as much, he doesn't get laid as much as Kanye West, which is at the heart and soul of the, for a lot of hip hop guys, not all of them, a lot of hip hop guys, that's the gold standard, you know, how much you get laid or how much, or how many women you got, whatever. But anyway, Kanye West can't take a joke. Now, this is from some homepage, I don't know, TMZ. And TMZ is such a tiring website, man, because you have to wade through all of their jive-ass commentary to get to the point of what it is they're trying to say. But Kanye West can't take a joke, and he's ripping Jimmy Kimmel a new one online right now in an epic rant. In case you don't, you didn't see last night, Kimmel mocked Kanye's BBC Radio 1 interview with a reenactment sketch that replaced Kanye with a whiny child. And he didn't take kindly to the insult. The rapper is currently going all caps meltdown mode on Twitter, ripping Kimmel for the job, saying things like, Jimmy Kimmel, put yourself in my shoes. Oh, no, that would mean you've gotten too much good P-U-S.
All right, we know the word.
All right, well.
Too much puss.
Come on, will you, bud? That would mean you can't put yourself in my shoes because you haven't gotten all the good that I have. You can't put yourself in my shoes. Your face looks crazy. Is that funny? Or if I had a kid say it, would it be funny? Wow. And our personal favorite, this is TMZ commenting, should I do a spoof about your face or you effing Ben Affleck? No disrespect to Ben Affleck, all disrespect to Jimmy Kimmel. Kanye then dragged Kimmel's ex, Sarah Silverman, into it, saying she's way funnier than Kimmel, and even posted a picture. And I'll hold it up, and I'm going to put it on the homepage. It was actually very funny, but Kanye's face there is blocking out the P word again. But there is the face that Kimmel made, and it says, no good P word.
Yeah.
The irony, Kimmel's entire point was that Kanye acts childish. So TMZ is taking the Jimmy Kimmel side, which I am too, but that's only because he's white. And
you put me on.
Yes, I'm putting you on. Okay.
Yeah, but you kind of do have to.
No, I don't. No, I don't at all.
Why can't you take Kanye West's side?
I could take Kanye West's side. I don't know the origin of this thing. My knee-jerk white man reaction is to take Jimmy Kimmel's side.
So it is racial.
So you're saying it's racial?
No, I'm not. What I am saying, though, is that isn't that sort of the knee-jerk that a lot of people are having here? Aren't they just, well, Jimmy Kimmel, he's a... All the white geeky guys like Jimmy Kimmel, and I don't know what the story is. I didn't see the interview on BBC One. Maybe I should watch it. But Kimmel's job, this is the reason why I think I'm taking Jimmy's side, is that his job is to be a social commentator. His job is to be a satirist. His job is to be a humorist. And a satirist, and that's, you know, humor with a point of view, and it's commenting on the world around him. And if you're going to do a show and you sit down every night to do that show, and one of the things you do, people tune in for, people expect, and that you do, is talking about people in the news. Kanye West doesn't do that.
Yeah, he does. He comments about society.
As a singer, as a hip-hop artist, using music, that's his medium. So I think the problem that we have is every time we cross the lines, every time we leave our medium of choice, our platform, our platform of expression, and we move into somebody else's turf, you wind up looking like an idiot and you wind up sounding stupid. So if you're a social commentator and your thing is doing talk shows and commenting, and that's what he did. That's what Kimmel did. He saw Kanye West, and he made a comment saying he looked childish, and that's what Jimmy Kimmel is expected to do every night. Kanye West got upset, and Kanye West responded to Jimmy Kimmel with his own sort of verbal assault, and it just isn't as good because that's not what he does. If he puts Kanye West's music is great.
You think so?
No, I know so. I know so. I know so. His music is great. But Kanye West on Twitter ain't all that great. You know, I mean, look, Colin Kaepernick playing baseball, I don't know how good that guy is. As a quarterback, I like him, you know. As a quarterback, I like him. Joe Flacco is a quarterback, I like him. Pitching in a baseball game, he probably sucks. In fact, I'd be willing to bet he really does suck. He'd probably give up home run after home run. I mean, it probably would be an absolute disaster of biblical proportions if you asked an NFL quarterback to get on the mound in a Major League Baseball game and throw a baseball to batters. It would probably be a shelling like you wouldn't forget, man. But no one in their right mind would ask that guy to do that. So when you see Kanye West go on Twitter and take on Jimmy Kimmel, he is now out of his element. He's off of his turf. He's on foreign turf. He's going to get his ass handed to him. If I were Kanye West, come out with a song, man.
Yeah, it takes too long. It's going to take forever to come out on a song and everything.
No, how long is that going to take?
Are you kidding? Are you serious? Kanye West could go in a studio right now and do some song, some form of audio musical entertainment that is a comment on Jimmy Kimmel, because West does that. That's what his music is. He comments on society, comments on the on history. He comments on a lot of things. He could do that tonight. He'd have that record at radio stations tomorrow. That thing would go viral online. Dude, it would be everywhere. You out of your mind?
Well, I don't know.
See, it doesn't take music months to take hold anymore. You don't have to wait months to get it on the playlist of a radio station. You can put that thing out tomorrow. He could put that thing on his Twitter feed and say, here it is. You know.
What do you think about that picture he did?
The picture he did of SpongeBob SquarePants, the one with Jimmy Kimmel, no good P word, it was pretty funny. See, now he's beginning to approach, you know, what he does for a living, but I don't know. So we'll keep looking at that. Coming up next, we have Ted Bell, who's going to be talking to us about the game of the week, how well things are going there. Oh, we did have, and Steve Bozell was on with us last hour, but I think Steve has pretty much burned himself out on that one. And there's another arrest in this Bernie Madoff thing keeps on giving. There's another arrest. There was an accountant that got his ass in a hot water and has now been arrested as part of the whole Bernie Madoff thing. So let's talk about that, too, and see if they've updated that Dan Nanen story. Is he out of jail? Has he punched anybody else out? Is he in jail forever?
How long do you think he'll be in for?
Overnight. They probably bailed his ass out by now, I would hope. I mean, not that I hope, but they probably have. Okay, so all of that and more coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and philhenryshow.com. Back in a moment. Woo! All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and you know, your local radio station and like that. And by the way, you know, we'd like to be on in your area. So if you've got a radio station that we should be on, call them up and say that, you know, you should be carrying the Phil Henry Show. There's a lot going on in talk radio, and most of it isn't good. Well, I say that I'm biased. No, there's a lot going on in talk radio, and I guess there's a lot that's good about it. Nonetheless, we certainly are interested in being on in your town. And, you know, this is not a necessarily a conservative talk show. It's not necessarily a liberal talk show. In fact, politics is a real bore to us. It isn't that we don't understand it. We understand it all too well. In fact, politics is easy. Politics is about the easiest thing in the world there is to talk about. It's the easiest thing in the world there is to understand. It's the easiest thing in the world there is to have an opinion about. And it makes for the worst radio in the history of God and man on this planet. And that's why we don't do it.
Yay.
Thank you.
Very good, Phil.
Thank you. So, having said all that, talk to the cat. Talk to whoever your local talk show guy is, your local talk radio station guy is, and we'll see what we can do. I'd love to be, like I said, I'd love to be on in your town. I had a very interesting conversation. I won't mention anybody's name. And the conversation went something like this. Somebody who has a talk show, a radio talk show, was approached to have a guest. This is a current state of affairs, ladies and gentlemen, in our business.
Oh, Phil, don't do it.
Do you mind if I just finish something?
Yeah, don't do it, son. You're going to get everybody all upset.
Mr. Hall will need to be contacted.
You know, you're the biggest snitch in the history of the world, man.
Mr. Hall will need to be contacted.
Well, you are a little bit of a dirty rat, aren't you?
But, you know, Bud, I can't say, I don't care. Call him up. I don't give a damn.
You don't give a damn. So I can say to Mr. Hall, you don't...
I don't give a damn. Call him up. So this is a state of affairs in talk radio today. A guy's called up and asked if he wants to have a guest. You know, this person has a guest for his show, and the guy says no because your company, the entity that you represent, has not exactly bought that much advertising on my show. And so the quid pro quo on that is, no, I don't want to have a guest of yours. Now, understand what that means, folks. Advertisers are back running programming. Now, that's what Quiz Show was all about. The movie Quiz Show was all about taking the programming control away from advertisers because Quiz Show happened. Now, I'm not saying that advertisers are not great people and that we don't need them and that we don't love them, we don't respect them, and don't want to give them the very best possible bang for their buck that we possibly can. But you can't let them control your,
Look at that behind you.
That's the American flag. But get the flag down. I'm not sitting here doing the American flag. That's
flying into the American flag, flying in the background.
I understand, man. I don't want it on my video cast, okay? Pardon me, folks. So anyway, you get my point. I mean, I don't have to go into it. All right, Ted Bell is going to be on here in just a moment to talk with us about what else, Ted. And again, we are online at philhenryshow.com. A reminder that we're going to be, Bobby Dooley will be, and we'll be with Bobby, at the LA Podcast Festival on October the 5th. So if you're going to be attending, and there's quite a few wonderful examples of great podcasting, people will be there from, I would imagine, all parts of, of the country.
The country? You're kidding.
Well, I mean, look, people are doing podcasts all over the place. The LA Podcast Festival is a cool podcast. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of people wanting to, be a part of that. So if you'd like to come out and see Bobby Dooley doing her thing, it will be on Saturday, October the 5th. We'll give you the specific time next week. I know what it is. I don't have it. But just leave the whole day clear and just write Bobby Dooley across,
So the people are supposed to blow out a whole day for her.
Yes. I don't know the time right now. It's in the afternoon. All right, there. Is that close enough?
Yeah, let me write down, avoid LA.
Oh, take it easy. LA Podcast Festival happening on Saturday, October the 5th. We'll see you there. All right, Ted. Where is my man Ted here? Is he here? Yeah.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Where is he, bud?
Oh, you're going to do Ted Bell now?
What do I look like I'm standing here, man, waiting for a bus? Yeah, I'm waiting for Ted Bell. Where is he?
Hold up a minute. I thought you were going
to...
Oh,
Ted's,
man.
Didn't know
you want to put our meat in your mouth.
That's the meat in your mouth. I was talking to Mr. Hall.
Hey, pal, you talk to Mr. Hall in your own time, okay? You go squeal on what we're doing on the air on your own dime, friend. This is my show, and I want Ted Bell, and I want him on the air now. You understand?
Yes, sir. Okay. Hey, Ted. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I know. I know.
Oh, man.
I know.
You know.
I know. I know.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Happy to be with Phil Hendry here on this beautiful Thursday evening. Don't forget to come into Ted's of Beverly Hills for the pork roast, for the all-day pork loin, for the all-day rib roast, for the all-day big-time prime rib. It's Ted Bell.
You're going to have to get that, whatever the mix is coming down the line from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We can't hear the commercial.
Yeah, Phil, I pay top dollar for that commercial. And again, we're on the air right now?
Yes, we're on the air.
All right. God. Hi, everybody. Ted Bell here. If you'll pardon me, just one comment I want to make. I pay top dollar for the commercials, I'm saying.
I understand that, and we're fixing it.
Oh, you're fixing it.
Yeah. Anyway, Ted, how are you?
I'm doing very well, and again, I pay top dollar for that commercial.
I understand, and we're fixing it.
Because I couldn't hear it.
Well, all right. So, Ted's of Beverly Hills, they want to put their meat in your mouth.
Thank you. Thank you. That's all. I paid top dollar for that commercial.
And you want to hear it. I get it. All right. Ted is with us here. By the way, we had your partner on last hour, Steve Bozell.
What was he talking about?
Well, he was talking about his stand-up comedy aspirations.
Oh, baby.
How do you like working with Steve?
Working with Steve is fine. I don't think, I have to be honest with you. And if I were to be honest with you... And that's what I want to be. I want to be honest with you, but it's not unusual for me to be honest. I suppose it is, but if I were to be honest with you, which I'm being right now, I would say that Steve Bozell is just as knowledgeable as I am when it comes to professional football. I've heard Steve say, the both of us have made some colossally dunderhead statements, and that's difficult for me to say. It's very, very difficult for me to say of myself. And I don't have a big ego, Phil, but I also understand that I want to put my best foot forward when it comes to advertising touch of Beverly Hills, because we think we've got some of the finest cuisine, finest dining, great dining experience at touch of Beverly Hills. So when I have to come on your radio show and say that my play-by-play for the game of the week is far from anything that I'd want to write home about, that hurts. And it hurts very deeply.
So, but you're saying that Steve's doing a good job.
Well, no, I'm saying, no, I didn't say that, did I? I said...
Steve's doing as good a job as you.
Let me say it, okay?
Yeah, let him say it, Phil. You're putting words in his mouth.
Sorry.
I am saying Steve's doing as good a job as me. Yes, I am. But I wanted to say it, and you said it before me. Steve's doing as good a job as me.
All right, you guys have done so far, you're the Philly, excuse me, not Philly, you did Denver, New York, and you did last week the Philly, New York, and you did the, I forget what game you did last. What game did you do last week?
I'll tell you right now what game we did last week. We did the Cleveland, I forget, but it was a great game. It was Green Bay, or I forget the game we did. It doesn't make any difference, does it?
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
It was San Francisco and the other guy, Indianapolis. And I will tell you that that game was very exciting, but Bozell butchered it alive, and I did too. I'm just saying, the two of us carved it a new ass.
What do you feel you did wrong with that game?
Well, we both came out at the very beginning of the game and said that we thought San Francisco was going to take charge on defense and offense, and that Indianapolis was coming in overrated, and we felt that Indianapolis was going to eventually get their ass handed to them along with their sack lunch, and that did not happen. And it hurt. It hurt bad. I went back to the hotel and thought about it long into the night over, I don't mind telling you, over a whole lot of drinks. We didn't leave town until the Monday after, and I don't know why we were in San Francisco, because we weren't at the stadium. We were actually sitting in the Henry Broadcast Center. We took the remote studio.
Yeah, why did you guys travel?
I just got done telling you I don't know why.
Well, you should do the game from the studio here at the El Pacifico.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, who paid for the travel?
I don't know.
Well, brother, it ain't me, I'll tell you that.
Well, it wasn't me. Somebody's credit card paid for it, but we were up at the Four Seasons on Market Street.
Oh, well, ain't that nice?
Oh, quit being a cheap creep, okay? You know,
I'm not being a cheap creep. I don't like the idea of you guys going to Sam... I'm sorry, folks, we're not even talking about the game now. You know...
Phil, this is part of show business. You should do this off the air.
That's right, Mr. Ann. Do it off the air, not embarrass everybody.
Oh, why don't you give me a break? Embarrass everybody. I'm talking business here, bud. You don't understand any of it, okay? Ted, all I'm telling you is, man, what I would have appreciated is a phone call before you guys go up there and you use the show plastic to stay at the Four Seasons Hotel. You're doing the ball game remote in a studio, you know.
Well, we're doing it by way of the Apple, the software. But it was a lot of fun, and I tell you, we went over, we had dinner, and I had a great time, and I got, yes, I did, I got drunk, and so did Steve, because we were reflecting on how we carved it up, so...
All right, David Hall...
Yeah, David's waiting on hold, he want to talk to you.
You know what, bud, I'm going to get you in for some English lessons, a CAT scan, there's all kinds of work that needs to be done. Hold on for just a second, Ted Bell... from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Why do we have David on the line? You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on this show, and I have no idea why it's happening.
I don't know. You said something, and Bud felt that David needed to be called. I just said something. Oh.
David needed to be called. I tell you what, until such time as we know why it is that David needed to be called, I don't want to have David on the air bugging me. Do you understand? World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and philhenryshow.com. The Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts are in stock.
I don't understand.
Well, I'll tell you later, okay? Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. L.A. Podcast Festival on the 5th of October. Bobby Dooley will be there live, so you can watch Bobby doing her thing. And with us tonight, Ted Bell from Ted's Beverly Hills. Ted, do it.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Thank you. Ted Bell here from Ted to Beverly Hills. And remember, if you want a delicious, juicy steak, prime rib, the Kansas City, the Porterhouse for two, and of course, our delicious side, Ted to Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted.
Give me more time, because I don't
know. Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
Understand that.
Why don't they what?
Why don't they give me more time to say what I need to say rather than having to...
You're the guy that had the... And anyway, folks, there's far too much behind the scenes in this show.
Well, yeah, we're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air.
All right, I'm sorry.
Every time we run the commercial, we're on the air.
I'm sorry.
All right, as if that isn't bad enough, David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication, joins us. David, I understand that you... Want to say some things?
You know something, Phil? I don't think it's necessary for you to say... By the way, Ted, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great, great. I don't think it's necessary, Phil, for you to, you know, and if that ain't bad enough, you know...
Well, all right, I'm sorry, but I'm up to my neck in all kinds of stuff here tonight, as I usually am. And Bud apparently has the green light from you to call you anytime he hears something that you should know about.
That's correct, Phil, and I don't think, as long as the audience is listening in, you don't have to make it sound like, and ta-da, and that green light, ta-da, you know, and Daphne's with me tonight, as she usually is, so I would appreciate if you're not going to comment that if a woman that you love, do you think that's unusual that she's with you every night?
No.
All right, then I'd appreciate you not commenting on it. Hold on for a minute.
Well, I'm only commenting, David.
Hold on for a minute, what?
I don't know.
Yeah, she said that she agrees that we're in love. We have a love affair. And that she feels that you should have more respect.
Why, you know, can I ask you a question?
Okay, why am I regretting already that I called?
No, can I ask you a question? Why am I hearing her going, oh, what is that?
She's got something in her mouth, okay? Do you want to push it, or will you just let it go at that? She's eating something, all right? Why is it that you got to always point that out?
Why is it you got to be calling me every night? Why is it you have to call me with her in the car? Why is it that you're always looking for donuts, okay?
It's not donuts, it's corn nuts, okay?
Corn nuts.
Hey, Dickman, you're the guy that called me. I didn't call you. You called me. You said something was going on.
Yeah, you're talking about nuts.
I'm talking about corn nuts. What are you eating, honey? She's got corn nuts.
Why is she... that's very disturbing. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know?
What?
She sounds like... Yeah, she's got something in her mouth. What's the big deal? Why didn't you just say Daphne's eating?
Well, you're... Are you talking to me?
You're the guy putting her on the air.
No, I didn't. I asked her a question. And she happened to have just taken a handful of corn nuts.
Corn nuts.
Oh, God, Phil, you don't laugh at David.
Thank you. You never laugh at me on the air. That's rule number one. You know that.
There's no rules that are not made by anyone other than me. There's no rules that apply on this show that are made by other people. They're only the ones that I make, okay? You understand that?
When did you turn into such an ass?
When I started getting phone calls from you and your girlfriend Daphne there as she's eating corn nuts, she's eating donuts, she's having a hot dog, or as you put it tonight, she's got something in her mouth.
Oh, now I get it. So when I said she has something in her mouth...
Yeah, Mr. Hall, he's always talking about everything.
And you automatically went to the gutter. That's where you went, didn't you?
Well, then why didn't you say she's eating?
Because I knew what you guys would say.
But, David, when you say she's got something in her mouth, these guys are going to go to the filthiest place. They're going to go to the blackest part of hell. You know that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Margaret. I should know that. Anytime I say anything that can immediately transport us into the sewer of hell, you can be assured that Henry will take us there.
You know what, David? If you make a comment...
Yeah? Go ahead. Spit it out there, Mumbles.
Mumbles?
Hey, man, why don't you shut up? Go ahead, Phil. Say it.
Thank you, Robert. If you are calling my show and you make a comment like she's got something in her mouth...
Yeah, why do you got to go to the blackest part of hell with it?
The blackest part of hell?
Yes. You automatically turned it into an oral thing?
David, speak up. We can't understand you.
I'm trying to be a gentleman about it. I said, Phil, when I said she had something in her mouth, you turned it into oral things.
What did he say?
You can't understand what he said.
No.
Margaret, I said Phil is turning it into oral.
Oh, into oral.
Oh, for Daphne doesn't appreciate that.
Would you get rid of that hog? Get that pig off of my air. Thank you. I want to talk to you.
No, whoa, you just hung up. You just reached over and hung up on David G. Hall.
You got a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem with it.
That Mr. Hall going to be... I better call him.
Get off of that phone, man, before I belt you. Him and that girlfriend, I'm ready to... I swear to God, I don't know what I'm going to do, man. That girl, I've never heard her utter an English language word where there wasn't something packed into her cheeks.
Listen to you.
Well, hey, you know, I mean, how else am I going to say it? And he insists on putting her on the air. Now, what did he have a problem with?
Well, you hung up on him on account before he could say that.
All right, put him back on the... And I swear to God, if I got to listen to this... Where's Ted? Is he there? Where's Ted? Ted, I'm sorry, man, but I got to talk... We got to talk to David.
Well, I tell you, Phil, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. But all you're doing is I'm wasting time. I got 4 tables that have got to get cleared. I got a whole...
Do you want us to do this some other night?
No, I don't want to do it some other night. Tonight is the night because I want to talk about the game. I want to talk about Bozell and I. There's a lot of things I want to... And I also want to talk about what David G. Hall wants to talk about insofar as it applies... never mind. Just...
Okay, hold on for a minute. Get him on the line here and find out what the... David, Margaret was the one that reached over and hung the phone up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, well, let me say something.
David, it was. I hung up.
All right, fine. I heard you say the phrase, we want to put our meat in your mouth, in relation to Ted's Beverly Hills.
That's right.
Why didn't you sing it?
Why didn't I sing it?
That was the go-ahead that I gave for that commercial. I said I don't want that garbage on my radio stations unless it's part of a commercial jingle. I don't want anybody speaking that line. I want it sung. I said it over and over and over again. If I said it once, I must have said it a million times. As soon as I heard those commercials, I said, I don't mind as long as it's sung.
Well, David, if you said that, I must have spaced.
You spaced? Yeah, great. But guess who the guy is that has to deal with the fallout? Guess who the guy is that has to take the phone calls from some little old lady that's about to have a cardiac arrest? Some little old lady. I had a call from a lady from Richmond, Virginia. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, in Virginia?
I know it's in Virginia, smartass, but it's at the southern end of Virginia. It's at the end of Virginia that's away from Washington, D.C. It's away from all of the hip areas of what they do there. So I got to take a call from this lady, and she's about ready to have a heart attack. I don't know if she's starting to bleed from the nose or what, and she says that she heard you say that phrase. And I said, did he sing it? And she said, no, he spoke it. I said, are you absolutely sure?
Okay, I didn't sing it, all right? I blew it, and I didn't sing it.
I need it sung, okay?
What if I play the commercial?
I'm not giving him free commercial time with a jingle. All you got to do is you sing it, Daphne. What is it? Yeah, Daphne, I'm sorry, Phil, that you hate her, and it breaks her heart.
I don't hate Daphne. I've never talked to Daphne. I've never met Daphne.
Have.
No, I have not. All I hear is her trying to say a word, and she's got donuts in her face.
Oh, boy, that's the woman that I love.
All right, I'm sorry, man, but if you're going to put her on the air, have her say a word that I can understand.
Happy, honey, say hello to Phil.
You see what I'm saying?
What?
Are you telling me that was an English language sentence?
She said, Phil, how are you doing? You don't understand that.
No, man, because she's... Have her...
If you say have her swallow, I swear to God, Phil, all bets are off. I will pull my services from your radio show, and you know I've got the contacts to make you number one in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a load of him.
Phil, that is very rude.
Hey, let me tell you something. I don't believe anybody when they tell me that load of crap.
Did Ron Hartenbaum tell you that?
No, he doesn't. That's why I like Ron. Now, what is the problem here?
I want you to sing We Want to Put Our Meat in Your Mouth.
Well, no, I'm not going to do that.
Well, you better, because we've got an FCC problem if you don't.
So, in other words, that line is totally...
I've already explained it. It's acceptable. Now, Daphne just demonstrated. Want to do it again, honey? We want to put our meat in the mouth.
We want to what?
We want to put... What's the line? We want to put our meat in their mouth. Or no.
It's we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Yeah, sing it.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Do it better.
Oh, come on.
Do it better.
We want to put our meat...
Do it the way it What is the line, Daphne? I don't know, honey. I'm asking you. She wrote it down in her notebook. Did you write it on the iPhone? Oh, she put it in her notebook, the iPhone notebook. That's very smart. What do you think of that, Phil?
Yeah, that's great. She knows how to use an iPhone.
God, what an ass. Yeah, we want to put our meat in your mouth. That's not me saying that. That's the jingle.
I understand, David. We won't make that mistake.
Do it!
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
God, man, you sound like you're really getting into it.
Get out of here, will you? There, I said it. We'll be back with David, Ted Bell. David, I hope, never comes back. I mean, not tonight anyway. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Good Lord Almighty, man. And we'll be back with more from Ted Bell and, of course, talking a little bit about our No Game of the Week this week as the Phil Henry Show is taking the weekend to go to Washington, D.C. We will have some video. We'll have a video log from Washington, D.C. for you on our website and other news, photographs from D.C. We're going to be in D.C. from Friday until Monday morning, but back on the air Monday night. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Hey, welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. By the way, I just got a tweet from Graham Elwood, who is the founder of the L.A. Podcast Festival. We're on at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, the 5th of October. Bobby Dooley and the Bobby Dooley Podcast live at the L.A. Podcast Festival on October the 5th, starting at 4 o'clock. Thanks, Graham, for that information, man. I'm, you know, we're... and it ain't that the guys at LEG Molotov haven't been giving me this stuff. It's just there's a million things happening, and the older I get, the more my brain begins to dry up until probably in about 6 months, it's full Alzheimer's. I'll be just wandering down the street with no pants on.
Yay. Very good.
Thank you. That will be my, you know, my closing act on this thing called The Life of Phil. I'm just joking around. All right. So we got rid of David Hall, and that's good. So why not Ted? Yeah, here we go. One more time with the jingle here. I already sang it once, so...
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I'd like to say Ted of Beverly Hills very proudly bringing you the Bobby Dooley Podcast on the 5th of October at the L.A. Podcast Festival. I'll be there.
You will.
Yes, I just decided I will be there. Because I just can't, I cannot not be there. I've got to be there. I cannot not be there.
All right, Ted Bell back with us. So you will make an appearance at the podcast festival.
That's what I just said, yeah. And
so will Bobby interview you?
I don't think so. I don't think, if she wants to, I don't want to steal her thunder, but I think it's a very important thing for me to align my business with. I think it's an important thing for us to have a banner hanging at. And as well, of course, Phil, as you've been mentioning all night long, ad nauseum to the point where you're probably turning people out and you're probably getting radio stations pissed off at you, my Ted's of Beverly Hills T-shirt is available at the Ted's of Beverly at the online store at philhenryshow.com.
Okay, great. So as long as people are getting pissed off, let's get them real pissed off.
Exactly.
Although it is a good deal. All right.
Well, it's a good deal. I'd rather them buy the hoodie. The reason why we went with the T-shirt, if I may, for just a second, Phil.
Well, you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot here, man.
Wow. Don't you think I know what's best for my business?
All right, I'm sorry.
Phil, Ted knows what he's doing.
Sorry, Ted.
All right. What I was about to say, boy, that stunned me. I gotta back up. Ooh. Oh, man.
What stunned you?
What stunned me? Don't you ever suggest anything about my business to me. I know what I'm doing.
You know that, Phil.
I know. All right, Ted, I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
Yes, I'm sorry.
God, I got to hold on for a minute. I just want to catch my breath on that because...
Oh, will you grow up, man? Let's go.
All right, well, what I'm trying to say is... Boy, that burns. Why does it burn in my... Well... it feels like I have hemorrhoids.
Will you just please give us the lowdown on the Ted's of Beverly Hills, whatever?
The Ted's of Beverly Hills, what I'm trying to tell you is this, okay? My business, we're going to hang a banner at the podcast. I don't even know what I was going to talk about now. You've got me so pissed.
fact is, Phil, Ted's of Beverly Hills will be represented there.
Okay. Now, as far as it goes, when we talk about the game of the week, you guys are not going to be on this weekend.
No, we will not be on this weekend. Out of deference to you, you're in Washington, D.C. You're taking care of some personal business. We are expecting some pictures and communiques from Washington, D.C. I will tell you, while you're in D.C., would you mind asking somebody back there if what happened to this? I heard a rumor they had a football team this year. You know.
All right, don't stick it in, man.
Oh, don't stick it in and break it up. I heard a rumor you got a football team in Washington, D.C., but I could be mistaken.
They've had some tough times, you know, and RG3.
You know where the problem started with the RG3 thing? Call him it by his name, Robert Griffin III. If you want to call him the third, if you think the guy is royalty, that's fine. This RG3, you take the guy, you diminish him to the level of some sort of a virtual man. He's a video game. He's not a human being. You know, and I personally, I would take that very, very unkindly. To me, that would hurt. It would hurt badly, not to be a man, but to be reduced to the level of a blip on a screen.
All right. I mean, it's the way that people relate these days. You are right. The Redskins are having some tough times.
Boy, tough times. That doesn't even begin to tell the story. So while you're back there in Washington, please ask them what they are doing. Number two, Mr. Bell, or rather Mr. Green, what's the guy? Mr. Green? Mr. Green Jeans.
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
Oh, Mr. Hall. I think Hall, I appreciate Hall sticking his nose into my business, but I'd rather he keep it out. And you didn't have to sing that. You made the statement because the jingle wasn't on the air.
Oh, look, David and I consult on these things. All right. In any event, anything else?
No. What an ass.
Hey, you're still on the air, man.
Cable 3, too.
Hey, Ted, you're still on the air.
Yeah, bring my car around. I can't take this dump anymore.
Hey, Ted, you're still on the air.
Which car did you bring tonight? I brought the Mercedes. Thank you very much. I can't, what's the business like?
Ted.
Let me call him.
Yeah, call him up. Ted.
I don't know. Henry has got, he's got it in his mind that his, you know, his stuff doesn't smell bad. Well, I'm here to tell you because I've walked into a bathroom after he's used it. Huh? Yeah, just get him out of there.
Hey, Ted.
Well, Philly can't hear you.
Well, Ted Bell is on the air. If there's anybody at Ted's of Beverly Hills right now that has any kind of a, you know, I don't know. Yeah, if there's anybody at Ted's of Beverly Hills right now that has any pull, they can certainly. What is that?
Hold on for a minute. I got to answer the phone. Where's the phone? At Ted's of Beverly Hills, Ted Bell speaking. What? Dickman? I'm on the air. Am I on? Is Henry here?
Yeah, I'm right here. We've been listening to you.
Oh, so you're getting your kicks now listening to me. Oh, man.
Well, you didn't hang the phone up, man.
Yes, I did.
Then how is it that we can hear you?
What if I, you know, Phil, you got to do so. You send somebody over here. What if I started masturbating?
There, I hung up on him.
Well, it's a good point, Phil.
What's a good point?
If he, in his frustration, decided to...
Yeah, he decided to paddle it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. A grown man who's really upset and frustrated over the treatment he's received on a talk show, not only does he fail to hang the phone up properly, but right there in the middle of his restaurant, he decides to start masturbating.
Well, I mean, Mr. Ernie, you're laughing about it.
Stranger things have happened, Phil.
Well, if stranger things have happened than that, I'd like to know about it. Well, no, please don't tell me, because something tells me one of you three have probably seen it, because I haven't, and I don't want to know about it.
Oh, yeah, right.
I haven't, and I don't want to know about it, if you don't mind. What if I started masturbating? All right, final story here that I really wanted to read. There's a guy by the name of Paul Konigsberg, a longtime accountant for Madoff Securities. He pled not guilty on 5 counts in a federal court. This guy was released on bail. They're still busting guys. He was a critical supporter and enabler of Madoff's Ponzi scheme. In order to keep his scheme hidden for so long, Madoff needed the assistance of certain willing outsiders, and this guy, Paul Konigsberg, was one of them. So they're still digging up guys who assisted in this horrific, horrific event. I don't know, man. To me, it's an extremely interesting case, and I can't get enough of it. I'm telling you right now.
What, Bernie Madoff? That's disgusting.
It may be disgusting, but to me, it's, I don't know, man. To me, it's fantastic. It is. Just, it's drama after drama after drama. See you guys tomorrow night. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern. On the Phil Hendry Network here from the Phil Hendry Broadcast Center. Good night, all.
Guy,
hang the phone up, Ted. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
If I started masturbating.